he's done. And so many things have happened in this pandemic, and some of them have been good, some of them have been bad, but whatever they have been, they've led us to exactly where we're sitting in our seats today. And so I thank God that he's worked them all out. And you know what I want to say is that these altars are open. And we will begin safely as we can, praying again, hands on prayer. If that offends you, I'm sorry that offends you. There's no possible way that I or Jeremy, as your pastors, can make everybody happy. I can't even make everybody happy with the air. And what I want to tell you is that, you know what, you must be planted. You must be planted. I'm not the brownie point pastor. I never have been. I wasn't even raised like that. And so when I offend people, I'm just going to tell you, I'm sorry if I offend you. It's never my intent. But the day that I won't stand up here and just say exactly what God wants me to say is the day that he doesn't need me anymore. And I want to stay where God needs me. I want to stay productive. And I want to say something here. And I almost cringe because I know I'm going to offend some people, and it just is what it is. But the Lord's not going to let me start this service without saying this, and I want to say it, and I'm going to say it. If you are in open sin, whether you're watching me from live Facebook, whether you're sitting here in my audience, you may be watching me in a week from now, you may watch me in a year from now, but let me tell you something. Consistent, habitual, continual sin will not get you to heaven. Now, I'm going to say it again because there should be an amen there. Consistent, habitual, knowing, willful sin God will not tolerate. Now, I'm not that pastor that beats the sheep up over the head when they come to eat, but let me tell you something. When God says, say it, this girl here, we're going to say it, and I'm going to say it again. Consistent, habitual, knowing, willful sin will send you to hell. Now, I'm not a hell and damnation pastor, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it one more time. Consistent, habitual, knowing, willful sin will keep you separated from heaven. You don't want that. You don't want to be up in sin when you're doing that thing that the devil talks you up into. See, the devil's lying to you. It's not okay. You say, well, God will understand. Yeah, he's going to understand that you would not listen. You would not listen. Now, let me tell you something. Just for the heck of saying it, I'm going to say it one more time. Consistent, habitual, willful, knowing sin is still sin. It'll always be sin. Why am I saying that? Because look here, I don't love anybody more than I love y'all. I don't. I don't. I don't like to have to say stuff like that. Why? Because, Brother Alvy, it makes me uncomfortable. Prophesy smooth words. See, I know what people want to hear, but look here. I'm not that girl. Because at the end of the day, if everybody walked out of this building, I love God more than I love anything. And so, you know what? I want to see each and every person in heaven. I want to see you in heaven on that day. We ain't even preaching about sin today. But look here, Mama Brenda. When God says say it, I'm going to say it. Don't mistake this. Well, I've had people call me up in the back. Pastor, come here. I want to talk to you. Okay, let's talk. I think you was preaching that message right at me. Well, baby, I was. You and everybody else. But first of all, me. Me. So let's get it straightened out right here, right now at the beginning of the message. This is for you. And before it was ever for you, it was for me. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the pastor is good for the congregation. It starts in the leadership. The spirit of excellence starts in the leadership. That's why I don't sit up here and tell y'all roses are red, I'm perfect. No, I'm going to tell you all my problems because look here, if I can do that, you're going to be able to be more honest with yourself. You ever been somewhere, everybody's faking everything? I don't like that. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. The moment that you begin to know that you're doing wrong, you best stop. You best stop. Because look here, God ain't got to kill you. A lot of people think, well, when I sin, God just strike me dead. No, he loves you too much for that. You ever felt like you was going to die? There's something worse than dying is when the Lord corrects you. You ever been corrected? Those that I chastise, I love. I only chastise the ones that I love. We're not preaching about sin today. But I also am not somebody that goes off of a schedule or an itinerary. It always makes it a little bit interesting. We're not going to sing three songs, clap two times. I'm not into religion. I'm into Jesus. That's what I'm into. All faiths are welcome here. If you don't believe in Jesus, I'm going to do the best job I can to plead his case because he loves you. And he wants you to be in heaven with him. Amen. Your pastors love you so much. And it is the biggest honor. And it is the biggest privilege to be your pastor. I can't tell you what an honor it is. I love y'all. And I'm so proud of each and every single one of you. I can look in your lives and your families and just see growth. Look in your lives and in your families and see the hand of God moving in your life. Is everything perfect? No. We don't live in a place where it's ever going to always be fine and dandy. But look here. We're going to a place. He's preparing it right now. He's preparing it right now. And so I preach out of the overflow of my life because I've grown up in church. I've grown up. Look here, we was drugged to church every cotton picking day, okay? We've been up in this church, oh my word, I've been in church my whole life. And you know, I've seen it all, and I know that a lot of times when you've seen it all, you can get yourself hardened to where nothing can get to you because you just seen it all. And a lot of times people that have been in church their whole lives, they feel that. It's a numbness that wants to come over you. And that's why this church is so different, because I've experienced that numbness myself. I know what it's like to just go through the motions and see if God can ever get you out of the motions. He's going to use you in a mighty way. Because look here, God is not the compartmental God where he's going to just sit there and be like, okay, here's a class of sin. You did a number one today. You did a number 10. He don't work like that. He just calls it like it is. Sin is sin. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. And so I like for Parish Christian Center to be different, because what we do not need any more of is watered-down gospel. Watered-down gospel. Pastors that would rather fill a seat than fill heaven. Pastors that would rather fill a seat than fill heaven. Look here, one thing I'm certain of, God will build his house. God will build his house. He always has and he always will. He always has and he always will. Whatever is concerning you this morning, whatever is tugging at your heart, I want you to begin to let it go. Let it go right now in Jesus' name. God, I just speak right now, God, and Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Spirit of peace, I thank you right now that you're coming up into every heart that's troubled. God, where there needs to be conviction, fall. God, in Jesus' name, let it fall right now, God. Lord, where there needs to be a healing take place in bodies of your children. God, I speak healing into this place right now, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for breakthrough. God, in each and every single family, in each and every single life. Lord, I speak to addiction right now in this place. If you're watching me live and you're struggling in addiction right now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands up. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you're the only chain breaker I know. So, God, I ask right now that you would break every chain. God, the chains of alcoholism, I speak to you, and I tell you to go right now in Jesus' name and loose off, God, pornography. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, you said you needed a binder and you needed a looser. So, right now, God, I bind that up in Jesus' name. Sickness, sadness, depression, anxiety, I tell you to be gone right now in Jesus' name. You don't have a place in these hearts in these people's lives. And God, we give you this service right now, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. You know, the Word of God, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. For lack of knowledge, they're destroyed. I don't want to be destroyed for lack of knowledge, because that's silly. That's a silly thing to be destroyed over. Get to getting some knowledge. Now, look here. If you was anything like me, I was not the best student. I was wild as I could possibly be. I know that's a stretch of imagination, but it's true. And when I was in high school, I had a teacher in, look here, math and science have never been my strong point. They're not today, okay? Look here. Tell it to me very, I tell God all the time, Lord, you're going to have to really dummy this down and make it very clear, because this girl here, I'm hard-headed and I'm not the most brilliant person. So God, please make this very understandable. And I told this teacher at the beginning, see, there was one teacher, and I knew she wasn't going to give me any breaks. I need lots of breaks when it comes to algebra, okay? Lots of them. But there was this other teacher, and he'd give you credit just for being hate. I can handle that, because I can't handle the algebra. And I said, Mr. So-and-so, this is the first day of school, and I'm going to make you an offer. I said, I know you've heard about me, and here's what I'm going to tell you. I promise to not give you any trouble, and I'm going to behave, and I'm going to be a good girl, but I need to pass this class. He never said a word. You can't agree to stuff like that. Look here, I'm Italian. I know how to make them offers and just let them sit on the table. I always got good grades in his class. I don't know algebra. I don't know how to do third grade math. I try that with my son. It doesn't work. Why? Because they've changed it now and they've made math into sentences. That confuses me. We don't do sentences with math. So one time, and I was in the 12th grade, and I got out of hand. And he looked at me and he goes, do you remember our agreement at the beginning of the year? I said, yes, I do. He goes, you're right on the line. I said, okay. And I put my head down and I went to sleep. I still don't know no algebra. Look here. Ain't going to. Don't need it. If God's word turns into algebra, he's going to have to take me home. Okay? But don't be one of them Christians that you're destroyed for lack of knowledge, because this is not 12th grade math. This is your life. This is your life. Make it count. So Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10, and it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Look here. One of the things that you're going to have to set in your heart is you will not quit. You will not quit. I will not be a quitter. God, I'm going to finish the race that you've set before me. Lord, when it gets hard, I'm going to continue. God, when everything looks like it's not going good, God, I'm going to still be there and I'm not going to be a quitter. See, if your faith faints in the day of trouble, look here, you're going to have a hard go at it, because life is full of trouble. Life is full of adversity. Okay, let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. We're going to look at that today in the King James Version. And it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so one of the things that I want to point out, I'm going to teach you today in about 25 minutes. I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version. What do you do when you're at a standstill? Because, see, that's what I've felt all week. I don't like to stand still. I don't even like to park still at any drive-thru restaurant. That drives me nuts. I don't like it. And I don't like to do it in my life. But this week has been a week of just a standstill. And I hate that because I'm a go-getter. Melissa, if it ain't happening, I'm going to make it happen. And it will exhaust me, and then it still won't happen the way it should. And I've sat here, and as I was telling certain people some of the issues, I said it like this. And here's what we have to stop doing as Christians. Now, am I loud enough? Okay, because I can get louder. I just need to know. One of the things that, now I lost my little, I'm like a squirrel. Okay, so we're going to have to, I lost my thing, Alvy, my sponge, at the end of this. And it's like a little nude ball, a little sponge. My husband's going, you're bringing attention to it. Look here. That's just what I do. Thank you. I don't like things to not be right. Now look, I told you I'm not scripted. That will drive me crazy till I get my sponge. I want the sponge on there. Because in my head, that's going to make me sound better. You want my head to be clear, don't you? Okay. Thank you. I'm OCD. I can't deal with the no sponge business. Got to have the sponge. So, all week, here's how I started the week. I keep myself to where I'm busy all the time. I have no time. I have no time for myself. I have no time hardly for my family. I have no time for my husband. And I could feel this getting more and more and more. And then I could hear the Lord saying, now, Kelly, I want you to rest. And I thought, no, Lord, I got things to do. I'm going to keep this up because I can do it. I'm young. I'm vibrant. I'm going to do it. He just kept saying, Kelly, I want you to slow down. Slow down, Kelly. And I kept saying, no, God, I'm not going to do it. Now, I didn't just flat out tell God that, but with my actions, I told him that because I kept going. See, you can say whatever you want to say, but what are you doing? Because that's doing all you're talking. That's doing all you're talking, your actions. And here's what the Lord does with me, because I'm a very hard-headed person, and I'm stubborn. Alvy's known me my entire life. He's like, no, not Kelly. God just picks me up, and here I am, still walking in place. I still think I'm going somewhere. And I feel like he just kind of picked me up by the neck, and here I'm still going. And I look around, I go, God, you just put a hold on some of my stuff. What are you doing? Well, you wouldn't listen and slow down on your own, so I'm slowing you down. Okay, now back to the part where I'm not real brilliant. I was explaining this scenario to somebody. There's some things that slowed down, and I said, the devil has done such and such in this situation, and the devil's just getting his way, and all about the devil. And Christians do that. You stub your toe. Satan, get behind me. No, that ain't Satan, baby. You just got a big toe, and it gets up in the way, okay? We do that with a lot of things. You ever realize how much glory that you give the devil? We do, and we do it all the time. And I was sitting here, and I kept telling this story. Well, the devil, he just got up into this situation, and he just messed it all up. And by about Thursday, it was still messed up, and I couldn't bang the wall down and get it through like normal because I'm a pusher, a shover, a shaker, and a mover. And then I started hearing Jesus. Kelly, stop saying that was the devil, because it wasn't the devil, it was me. You didn't listen. You need to know what's going on in your life. There's situations and they happen. The devil did do them. There's situations that happen. You did them. There's situations that happen. God did them. He allowed them. You need to know where you're at. Did you do that thing? Did the devil do it? Or did God do it? Who did it? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You best know what God's doing in your life. If you don't know, you need to get to a point where you can hear his voice. You're going to have to slow down in your life to hear it. You're going to have to turn that Facebook off. You're going to have to turn the Netflix off. You're going to have to turn the music off. You're going to have to say, God, speak to me, Lord. Make it very clear, because, God, I need to know what's going on in my life. Why am I at a standstill? Who likes to be at a standstill in here? How many of you like when you get to move forward in your life? Me too. I like moving forward. I don't like staying still, and I don't like going backwards. You have to know what's going on. What's going on? So it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Look here. If you're at a standstill, number one, find out why. God, did you put this on a pause? Lord, did I do something, or did the devil intervene in here and get his way? Lord, what's the deal? That's your first step. Your second step, wait. Wait. I know that's the worst four-letter word ever. Wait. I don't like waiting for nothing. Wait. 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 Why? Because there's something that happens in that waiting period. There always is. God uses the waiting period to prepare you for what he's going to do. And one of the things that he does is he renews your strength. He'll renew your mind. He'll renew your body. He'll renew your spirit. He'll renew you time and time again. But if you won't wait, if you won't slow down, you're going to miss that. And when you get that thing up there, you won't have the battery juice to handle it. Wait. Know how to wait on God. And then it says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They shall walk and not faint. Now, we just read a verse in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10 where it says, if your faith fails you and you faint in the time of trouble, you're going to have some issues. See, God doesn't want you fainting. He wants you standing. He doesn't want you falling. He wants you standing up and having victory. But you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to just say, okay, God, I'm going to wait. You need to know when you got up into something, and you need, okay. And by golly, you need to best know when you need to walk away, because you got up into something you shouldn't have done being up in. Because see, all these things will make you be in that standstill. See, people stay in standstills for years. See it all the time. I want to be the pastor of folks. We ain't standing still. We're moving on. We're moving on. Up and at them. Next place for me, Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. So we have to know how to wait on God. We have to know how to wait. We have to know how to wait. And we have to know, Lord, what is going on in my life? So many people, I say, what's God doing in your life? They have no clue. What do you think God wants to do with your life? I've got no clue. The whole time we're talking, what did God want to do in your life? I don't know, Pastor. Look at Facebook. Okay. You got any goals? I don't know, Pastor. Do you know anything? What do you know? See, don't be one of those people that's destroyed for lack of knowledge. Get the knowledge. Get the knowledge. And so in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 12. And to go on a little bit with the stuff this week, I knew I needed to slow down. I just wouldn't do it because I'm hard-headed and I want to be productive and I want the kingdom to grow. And many times I'll do that at my own expense. And see, God doesn't want you exhausted. God doesn't want your family being neglected. God doesn't want your health failing because you would not rest. See, if God rested, you need to rest. You need to carve out some time where you say, God, I'm going to rest in you. God, I'm troubled right now, and I could do 50 other things, but God, today I choose to rest because I'm going to believe you, God, that as I rest, you're going to renew this strength. God, you're going to slip that answer right into my spirit, and I'm going to have a knowing of what you want to do. And I just wasn't having it. I was going to make it happen. I was going to push and shove and do this stuff. And when God said, Kelly, I stopped that. Quit telling people it was the devil, because it wasn't. I did that because you just wouldn't rest. Kelly, I'm going to get it started back up, but you better listen to me this time. You better listen. There's people, and they tell God, this is what they tell him, God, I messed up in this area of my life, but if you'll give me a second chance, I'll do it the right way. They get that second chance, and they do it the exact same way that they always did it. And then they want to blame God when their life gets in an upheaval. Look here. It wasn't God, and it wasn't the devil. It was you. I said, God, I need you to forgive me because I didn't listen. When's the last time you knew you'd done something against God and you just said, God knows I'm sorry? No, you need to tell God, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry I didn't listen. God, you corrected me. God, thank you for correcting me, because I know that means you love me. Because I know it means you love me. God, I'm going to be still, and I'm going to let you move. God, I'm going to not be a control freak. I'm going to take my hands off of this, and I'm going to let you have it. God's like, Kelly, you lying. Lying, Kelly. You know you're a little control freak. I'm going to help you get out of that. And I just sat on the couch, and I was like, I don't even know what it is to sit on a couch anymore. God, I feel weird. Kelly, just sit. Just sit and be still. Sit and be still. Sit and be still. Kelly, pray. 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 Do you know how to be still? When I was younger, my husband and I, when we first got married, actually before we got married, we bought a house together. Now, I feel the need to interject this in. We did not live together before we got married. And we bought that house together. And there was a couple deal breakers for me. And I said, if this house don't have these hardwood floors, I'm not buying any house that don't have a hardwood floor. Pastor Jeremy said, I ain't buying any house that don't have a garbage disposal. Why he picked that as a deal breaker, I have no idea. Man, never had a garbage disposal before. I got no clue. But sure as I'm speaking today, we walk over the threshold of this house, and I had an instant knowing. I had an instant knowing. When I walked through that threshold, I had the peace of God in that heart. God said, Kelly, this is your house. This is your house. I looked up. I said, husband, I believe this is our house. We didn't even see the rest of the house. We walked up in there. And then he says, and I just added this garbage disposal. And he turned it on. And Jimmy goes, oh, yeah, baby, this is the house. This is the house. One of the decorations that we bought for this house, and my family could tell you this. I've got pictures of it. Down the hallway, we had a vinyl wall art. And it said Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. Everything will rock your world at some point. You will have trials. You will have tribulation. God will bring you through them. But you have to know it's a skill set. Can you be still? Can you be still? And know. And know. And know. Wouldn't it be aggravating if every time that your children got hungry, Mom, are you going to feed me today? Are y'all going to provide for me today? Am I going to have everything that I need today? Wouldn't that be irritating? Of course. Of course I'm going to feed you. And Colton, I'm going to overfeed you. Because I love you and I like to watch you eat. Carson, I know you don't eat, so let me go buy you something. What do you want? Y'all's a hard crowd today. I'm going to get you. I always do. See, God wants you to know. Know who he is. And most importantly, when those life things happen, have that knowing. Melissa, I knew I'd messed up. And I said, God, I know I messed up. God, I know you did this now. And God, here's what else I know. You're going to work it out. You're going to work it out. God, I'm not going to get out of line next time. See, do you know when you get out of line? We all get out of line. I don't care how sweet you are. I said, God, I'm not going to get out of line again. I'm going to be a good girl. Like that math teacher. You're getting out of line. You need to forget our agreement. See, when God gets you out of a mess and he gives you that chance, do what you said you was going to do. Nothing worse than somebody, they never do what they say. They never do what they say. Isn't that aggravating? Oh. Oh. If there's something that gets under my skin, it's when people won't do what they say because I just can't control it. And I don't like to not be able to control something like they didn't do what they said. Now what? Well, nothing. Can't control people. Can't control nothing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Actually, hold on. I didn't read Philippians, and I was getting to a point. It says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. See, do you know what to do when you're at a low point? Most people really want to flip out. I know what it is to be in need. Another translation says, I know what it is to be brought low. I know what it is. God, I'm going to serve you whether I'm in the valley or God, whether I'm on the mountain. I'll serve you either way. God, you're exactly who you said that you were. God, when my whole family is falling apart, God, I'm still going to be there serving you. God, when people disappointed me, God, I'm still going to serve you. Lord, when everything looks awful, God, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to know that you're still who you said you are. So, God, I'm going to serve you even when everything looks like it's awful. Amen. I know how to be brought low. See, can you be brought low? Can you be brought low? Do you know how to make it when everything ain't going right? Most people want to throw the towel in. Look here. You want to be humble? Look at Sister Millie. That woman is an absolute saint. Last week she fell. Broke both her wrists. Have lots of issues. I said, Mama, don't come to church. Look here. Something crazy if I'm telling you not to come. Because I'm always saying, you better get your butt in church. And act right. I said, Mama, don't come to church. She goes, Kelly, I'm coming to church. And I'm going to go get the corona shot. I said, Mama, don't go get the corona shot. Both your arms is broke. I heard that makes your arm hurt. I said I was going to church, and I said I was getting the corona shot. Look here, Mama. I'm not going to argue with you because it's those silent people that get you. Not people like me. Not the big mouth. People like Casey and Mother, them quiet ones. You got to watch them. I know. I'm the baby of the family. Dad used to be looking. He used to, one time, he's opening the door of the house, and she took my bottle, and she shook it up, and she squirted it all over me. And he looked back, and he goes, Kelly, you need to watch that bottle. I couldn't talk. I was thinking, man, that was her. This is the quiet folks. They'll get you. And here I am, and I'm thinking, man, I wish Mama would stay home. I wish Mama would stay home. I haven't once heard my mother say, the devil made me fall. I look back, and I'm still dealing with stuff inside of this heart over this week. See, I got to wrestle that stuff to the ground. Yes. And I look over, and here's Mama. Yes. With her cast, raising her hands. Let me tell you something. Whatever you think the devil's trying to do to you, I want you to look again, and I want you to ask yourself, is this the devil? Is this me? Or is this God? We blame so much stuff on the devil. He gets so much credit for things that he's not even a part of. I want you to have that knowing what's going on in your life. It's not good for you to not know what's going on. When you seek him with all of your heart, see, have you done that? Have you done that? Do you know what God's doing in your life? Can you make it when you're brought low? We can all make it in the mountaintop. That's easy. Can you make it when you're at your lowest? Can you love God and be faithful to God when you're at your lowest? So it says, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And here's the secret, the knowing that I can do all things. I can do all things. God, if this is a season where you're going to humble me, God, I can make it. God, if this is the season where you're going to bring me up. See, the word of God, it says God has the ability. True promotion comes from the Lord. It only comes from the Lord. But see, God has the ability to raise up one and set another down. God has the ability to stop you right in your tracks and saying, until you can get this part right, you'll not go a step further. See, you got to know what God is doing in your life. Because if you don't, you're going to be at a standstill. And look here, you're too precious to be in that standstill. Too precious. There's too big a calling. There's too many people that need you to be stuck. I don't want you stuck, and I don't want to be stuck. But when I don't listen, I'm stuck. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 8. And here's Paul, and he says, I'm going to skip down. He says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. And I'm going to tell you something. If this life will do something to you, it'll put you under great pressure. Great pressure. Great pressure. I felt that pressure the last couple years. Just a great pressure. Pressure. You're going to either fold or stand. You're going to either fold or stand. You got to make your mind up. You got to make your mind up. Am I folding or am I standing? Because the pressure is going to still be there. You're going to work through it. God's going to bring you through it. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope. See, what's your hope set on? Is it your own ability, or is it his ability? What have you set your hope on? So that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Last place for me this morning. This verse is very close to my heart. I was blessed to live on that house on Bryan Street for 9 years. And when we bought that home, we had a little lady, and the first thing that she did was tell Jeremy that he was raking the leaves up wrong. And I thought, oh gosh, one of them. I like them neighbors all just, how you doing? Bye. Not Miss Reed. You're raking them leaves up wrong, boy. And you got the wrong bag. I'm going to go get you a bag. I'm going to show you how to do this right. I thought, oh, gosh. We done spent all this money on this house. We're going to be stuck with this neighbor. Let me tell you something. God sent Miss Reed over to my house and set me straight so many times. If it wouldn't have been for Miss Reed, there's things that would have happened differently. One of the times is when I had just had my son, and I had postpartum depression so bad, I didn't know if I'd ever get up out of that. And I had this screaming kid, and I didn't know what to do with him. He was screaming. Nothing I was doing was helping him. I thought, my God, everybody said this was going to be great. This is a disaster. Why did I pray for this little ankle biter? He's crying. I can't get him to hush. And I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's going to be crazy. And here's the door, and it goes a knocking. It's Miss Reed, and I thought, I'm not in the mood for this. I got this screaming kid. Here's Miss Reed. What does she need? She gets in there. She takes that baby. She gets in my rocker, and the kid instantly just shuts up. Praise the Lord for Miss Reed. Can you come in and move in here? Just stay with us. We'll be good to you. We'll feed you. Just take care of this kid for me. And she looked at me, and she was rocking that baby, and he just was so peaceful. She said, Kelly, his grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. Whatever you're up in, I want to tell you that same thing today. I want to, as your pastor, I want to tell you, you must know what God's doing in your life. Quit giving the devil credit for stuff he didn't do. You need to know, God, is this a product of something that I did? God, is this you? Or did the devil truly do this? God, I need to know. Number one, whatever those three things are, I want you to know, there's enough grace. There's enough grace there. It's not the end of your life. You're going to make it. You're not going to just survive. You're going to thrive in it. You're going to thrive. God's going to turn it around. But you need to know. You need to know what is going on. That's so important. Last verse. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Look here. You want to see the power of God? Just say, look here, God. I don't got it all. I'm in a very weak, low point in my life. Because look here, God's going to come up in there, and he's going to make you more powerful than you've ever been. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Look here, when you're feeling weak, when you're feeling down, know this. If you can settle that, the power of God wants to rest on your life. The power of God wants to rest on the situation. The power of God wants to rest on your children that you're concerned about. The power of God wants to rest on your marriage that's in trouble. See, not just will the power of God come, but it wants to rest on you. Wants to rest on you. And it says, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You say, well, Pastor, how do you end something like this? Well, first of all, I'm going to have my altar call in music. Thank you. If you're in a place and you say, I don't know what's going on, but I want to know. I want to know. God, I need some clarity. I need some clear vision. I need clarity. I'm going to ask you to stand, because look here, I don't want you to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. I'm going to begin to ask God for some things to become very clear. You need to know what you're in. You need to know. There needs to be that knowing. When you know, God can do something about it. But you got to know in those heart of hearts, God, what's going on? God, show me so I can change. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for every single person, Lord, that they're standing and they're saying, God, show me. God, show me and I can make a change. God, show me and I will change. Lord, I ask right now, God, for a revelation. God, I ask for your wisdom, God, and your clarity right now to fall on your children. God, I praise you and I thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for what you're doing right now in each and every single situation, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be blessed. Hope to see you tonight at 5:30.